Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, what a handsome young man we've got on the night. He's gorgeous. Danny Graham, how are you doing, big boy?
I'm very good, mate. Yourself?
I'm great. I need to say, mate, the Barnett is sensational. There's no way that's head and shoulders. That's not a head and shoulders job.
No, it's a shite, mate. I barely washed it, to be honest. Takes too much time.
Oi, Big Mo Bruce copying you, Tony.
Yeah, he followed in, didn't he? I said I was growing my hair, and the next thing Charlie's grew is, and obviously Charlie's a big handsome man, so he kind of killed me a bit with that. But there's a lot of people growing their hairs now, which is quite strange.
Oh, you read Dax on it as well, aren't you?
He's trying to, but he's proper thin, mate. He hasn't got long left, to be honest, so he's trying to grow it, so he looks all right.
Oh, yeah, and he's about 5'3", mate. He's not pulling it off, eh?
Nah, he's not pulling it off, mate. He's a typical Essex boy, him.
Some man. I know we'll put it in later on the questions, but big Charlie, what a man he is, eh?
Oh, mate, I think he's signed pretty much, I've probably done about 4 years with him, mate, and I swear every single day was a laugh and a giggle, mate. Obviously, you know what he's like. When it comes to training and games, mate, he's yelping the pro, but off the pitch and, you know, around the training ground, he's brilliant, mate. He made us laugh 24/7.
Did you hear his story about terrorising the security guard at Celtic?
Possibly. Go on, fill me in.
He told on the podcast the other day, but I was just going to ask you, does he do that at Blackburn? Like, is nobody safe? Does he go after physios and security guards?
Oh, yeah. We tortured the maintenance guy. He got a bit. And then he's like a director. When all this COVID was going on, he was texting him, winding him up, saying someone had farted. You need to check with the FA to see if that's all right and stuff like that, mate. We were crying.
Oh, what a hero, man. All right, we'll come again in a bit, mate, but we'll start with the career. I love this about you. Non-league upbringing, Chester Lee Street. What are your memories of those days? Was there dog shit on the pitch?
Oh, dog shit on the pitch. About three people in the stand. It was carnage, mate. Obviously, you know, I didn't do the youth team at Middlesbrough or anything. I joined sort of second year scholar at the time, and you know, it was great for me, I think, playing non-league and playing against, you know, big men at the time, and I was just a skinny little boy. So I think that helped me progress into, you know, going into the academy side of things. And, you know, Chesley Street was great, mate. Obviously, it started off my career, which was massive for me.
Was it the same as like a pro youth with the older boys talk? Like, would they get on you? Is that your teammates?
At Chesley Street?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, massively, mate, yeah.
What sort of stuff did they do?
This is the hammer, mate. Even like non-league, mate, we used to have to sing and stuff like that in the change rooms. They'd make us tidy up pick up their kit, and you know, they'd lob the slips at us and stuff like that, mate. It was brutal, but you know, I think it kind of stood me in good stead, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think that made you a better player? No, going through a youth system.
Quite possibly. I feel as though when I did go in at Middlesbrough, I felt as though I was, you know, built for men's football, possibly more than the rest of the boys. But then on the other side, I did miss out on a lot of training. Obviously, they were training. Most of the boys were there from 12, 13 year old, and they grew up together. So probably missed a lot of it on the technical and tactical side of it. But, you know, I was ready for men's football.
Mate. Tactical side, load of shite at young age.
Yeah, it's a lot of shite, mate. But you know what it is nowadays. It's, it's non-stop, mate. Everything's tactical and, you know, it's a bit of a ball ache, really, to be honest. But, you know, I did enjoy that non-league experience, to be honest.
Was it constant boozing at non-league?
Oh, it's been constant boozing throughout my career. yeah, it was, to be fair. You know, after games, the lads are sitting there with the pints, and you know, I remember at the time I had two or three pains, mate, and I was feeling it at 17, 18 year old.
With any boys ever play hungover?
Oh yeah.
All the time.
There was a lot of them. Probably two or three most games.
That's amazing, man. What about you, Nah?
Nah, not at the time, mate. Not at the time.
So how did Middlesbrough come about? Did Middlesbrough have a scout at that day games?
Yeah, so what was Chester Street? We played in the FA Youth Cup, the start of the FA Cup. We were playing like Bradford, PA, and teams like that, mate. And then we got into the first round proper. We played Hartlepool. We got beat off them, but I'd done well in the lead up. And then I ended up having a week's trial. played the game at the end of that week against, ironically, Blackburn. Scored a goal. Then they sent me away. And then on the Tuesday night after that, they come to the Chesley Street first team game, which I didn't know. They'd already arranged the scouts to come along and check me out. And I managed to score two that game. And then after that, they rang me up and said, come and sign.
Right, mate. A guy who's also trying to do his hair like you, Steve McClan. He was your manager, mate. When did you first meet him?
I didn't really meet him until probably 6 months, you know, into my scholarship, really. Obviously, I was doing well in the youth team, scoring a lot of goals. And then I got the call up to, you know, train with the first team and stuff like that. And he'd obviously said he'd seen a lot of me in them 6 months, and he wanted to ease me into the first team setup, which was great. Coming out of non-league to 6 months later, training with the first team was tremendous. And he was really good. He was a really good coach, mate. He was a really good guy as well, to be fair. And he helped me a lot, certainly early on.
Have you got any good youth team stories?
Not really, mate. To be fair, all of them are quite, you know, professional, and you know, everything was football, really. There's a few of the lads, Tony McMahon.
Tony McMahon.
He's brilliant, mate. But he never used to drink. But he was hilarious. He was a bit like Charlie. But like now, he's non-stop drinking. So it's kind of changed. But no, it was really quite a professional dressing room, even though we were so young.
Would Tony McMahon give the first team players a bit? Somebody told me he used to answer first team players.
Yeah, he did, mate. Yeah, he was very lively, very chirpy for a 17, 18-year-old, you know, breaking into the team. And as you probably know, the first team at Middlesbrough at the time had some really big players as well. And I think they kind of enjoyed that, though. A young lad coming in, quite chirpy. He got away with quite a bit, to be honest.
What would he get away with?
No, just the way he probably talk to players, and you probably talk to senior players, and you talk to youth team players, and you know, you kind of think, well, what's he doing now? What's he getting at here? And then, you know, the lads kind of took to him, which was surprising, to be honest. I thought he would have got hammered a bit more.
Did you play with Tom Craddock, Danny?
I did, yeah. Played a lot of him in reserves. He's a good guy, Tom, yeah. Obviously, I don't think he's playing anymore. I think he's coaching at Middlesbrough, actually.
Yeah, yes.
I think he's doing the 15s and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's kind of slipped out of the game, which is a shame, really.
Right, mate. One of my heroes, and you could have mistaken him for Steve McClan's brother, Ray Parler.
Oh.
What's he like?
The best, mate. He was by far the funniest man at Middlesbrough. He was hilarious, mate. He was just non-stop. I heard the story when Southgate took over.
Nah, go on, give us
and
it.
He called a meeting, so... You know, obviously, Gareth had played with most of the boys who were in the dressing room, and you know, he started off the meeting saying, "Listen, boys, obviously it's going to be Gaffer now, or stuff like that." So he's throwing a few names out there, and Ray's went, "What about Big Nose?" And then the room just erupted. And then about 3 months later, Ray was out of the club.
So he called Sam King Big Nose.
Yeah, he says, "What about Big Nose?" The whole place erupted. And then, like I say, mate.
Do you watch him on Twitter, mate? He can booze, can't he?
Oh, He is a proper boozer, mate, yeah. He is a proper boozer. He's doing all them Jager bombs and stuff like that, isn't he, for people's birthdays on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that.
Would he be like that when he played, big man? Would he go to the pub quite a bit?
Yeah, oh yeah, he was always in the pub, mate, yeah. He loved it. Even from his Arsenal, I think that's from his Arsenal days, really. Obviously, Tony Adams and Paul Merson and people like that he sort of grew up with. So he could be in the boozer four times a week, easy.
Would you ever get to go on?
Nah. I wouldn't have dared at the time, mate. I was trying to find my feet in the first team. We did have a Christmas dinner one time, and I ended up in Yarm with him, and he had to take me home. He can drink.
What, just you and Parler on a night out?
No, there was a few of us, and then it obviously ended up just us two, and then he's had to take me home because I can't even remember where we were, what bar, what club we were in.
Oi, how much does he look like me, Slenin, that does the podcast?
He does, to be fair, mate, yeah. He's a ringer.
As you said, mate, some proper big hitters, Hasselbank, Southgate, Mendieta, Zenden, Ekiog. Who was the best?
Mendieta. By a country mile. He was
what a player, unreal. Man.
Yeah, what a player. Mate, so like you've got to think I was playing with big men in Northern League, and then, you know, within a year I'm training with Mendieta, Hasselbank, Southgate, Ekiog. It was kind of surreal. But they were great with me. Hasselbank, and you know, we had big Mark Viduka, who was unbelievable.
What a player.
Yeah, what a player, mate. I've never seen anyone hold a ball up as well as Viduka did. He was so strong, and he could roll centre-halves comfortably. So it was good. I got to, you know, see a lot from, obviously, Hasselbank's finishing, the way Viduka played his game with holding the ball up, etc. So it was great to have them players around to learn off as a young striker.
Mate, I love that. I always ask on this. Any funny big-time shouts for any of
them? Not really. Not that I can think of at the top of my head. I remember Mendieta had a private jet, wow. And he was playing reserve team football at Middlesbrough. So he would obviously just fly off to back to Spain and stuff like that. But you know, even when he was bombed out, mate, and he was playing reserve team football for a year, you know, never once did he let his head drop. He trained exactly the same as he did when he was in the first team. So that was great to see as well as a young boy, you know, growing up.
I know you said that some of them were great, but was there anyone that would hammer you constantly?
No, there wasn't, to be fair. Yeah. There was a real good group, mate, and a lot of them were out to help the youngsters, which was massive for us, like me, Stewie Downham at the time, Andrew Davies was coming through, James Morrison. You know, there was a lot of us coming through, and they kind of took a shine to us and tried to help us as much as they can, really.
Other than Parler, who else would have been funny in that first team? Any other funny lads?
By Tony Mack when he got in, Andrew Davies. He was very chirpy.
He was good. He came up here, didn't he?
He was at Ross County, I think, for a bit.
Yeah. How can the guys
see? He's brilliant. He lives around the corner from me, down here. So I see quite a bit of him. He's brilliant, mate. He had a lot of bad injuries when he was younger, mate. I do feel he would have had a better career if he hadn't sustained them injuries early on.
Did the first team love McMahon and Davis or her?
Yeah, loved them, mate.
So would they two even give up Mendieta in that a bit, McMahon and Davis?
Yeah, anyone. It was crazy, mate. Anyone. But like I said, they would somehow get away with it and they wouldn't get hammered. Whereas, like, obviously, I've been at different clubs, and if a young lad says something to a senior pro and stuff, they get caned. But it didn't seem to be like that in Middlesbrough for whatever reason.
Wow. McLaren was at his peak then, mate. Obviously, he's got a reputation now with a Dutch accent and that. What kind of guy is he?
Obviously, he was great for me, mate. He gave me my Premier League debut and, you know, my first even European football against Sporting Lisbon at home and stuff like that. I thought he was a really, really good coach, mate. He handled the dressing room really well with the amount of big, you know, names we had within the squad. Obviously, the Carling Cup, he led Middlesbrough to, which was massive for a team like Middlesbrough. So he'd done a great job. He was a great guy, mate. And he was great for the young lads because he did give a lot of us a chance to play Premier League football. So, you know, I've only got good things to say about him, really.
Yeah, he done well. Mate, you were put on loan a few times. Carlisle. Is that mate? I've played at Carlisle, man. It's tough, isn't it?
Oh, It's tough on a Tuesday night when it's blowing a gale. It's tough, yeah. But listen, I went on loan a few times, mate, as a young lad, and I probably didn't grasp the opportunity as well as I should. I ended up probably 3 or 4 loan spells before I even went to Carlisle. In the Carlisle one, you know, I just seemed to hit the ground running. I think I scored 7 in 11 games on loan at the back end of the season. I was probably about 21 going to 22 at the time. I was thinking I need to play week in, week out. And that felt as though it was the right place for me to do that. Obviously, having a good loan spell there, I felt as though if I went in, I'd probably play and, you know, get myself 40 games and a number of goals. And that seemed to work out well for me, to be honest.
How does a League One dressing room compare to the big hitters in the Premier League?
I thought I went back to Chester Lee Suite, to be honest with you. No, to be fair, mate, we used to get changed in the first team dressing room at the stadium, and then we'd walk through like a park, and then we'd train on like a big open field, and there was like all sorts of dog shite and people walking around. So it was a lot different, mate. We obviously were washing your own kits and stuff like that, but for me, mate, it was probably the first time I'd played week in, week out in senior football, and I did really enjoy it.
Who was the older guys there? Was Graham
Cavanagh
there at that time,
Yeah, Cav come in, to be honest.
Worst fringe in football, mate.
Oh, mate, we went to Carlisle Racing team, and Cav come in, and obviously he's got his little quiffs sticking up, and he's about 4 strands of hair. And we were steaming, young lads. So we've all got the beer mats, and we stuck the beer mats on our head like that. That's the quiff. And he didn't like it one bit, mate. Obviously, like, going back to, did Macca get away with it at Middlesbrough? How many old lads? Well, we were getting on Cav, and he come down on us, mate. So we had a good team, to be honest, mate. Kieran Westwood, the goalie, yeah. Joe Garner. We had a few good players, to be honest, mate, which was quite pleasing, because, you know, Carlisle's right up at the top, isn't it? And it's hard to attract players, to be honest.
Who was the manager?
Who wasn't the manager? Neil MacDonald signed me after my loan spell, and after the first game, we drew 1-1 with Walsall. He got sacked. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I done here? I was thinking, this can't be right. I was thinking, did we lose that game on Saturday or what? So it was quite surreal. We never really found out why he got sacked, but mate, one game in the season, we drew away and he got sacked. The first game of the season. The very first game, I'm thinking, this is going to be a disaster, this. It's got to be. And then Greg Abbott took over, and then we had John Ward, and that's when we got to the playoffs against Leeds. So, to be fair, he'd done a good job, John Ward, so it worked out quite well.
Mate, I must have played against you at that time. Cavanagh sent him in. Was Ian Hartley at the time?
Hartley was there, yeah. He come on loan, yeah.
Mate, he was caviar for League One, wasn't he?
Oh my God. Mate, we played Cheltenham away, and there was a free kick, right? And I was stood over it, and he went, move. And I wasn't actually stood over it to take it, mate. I've never took a free kick in my life. And he went, I am going to whip this goalkeeper's side, top corner. Sure enough, he's took this left foot, mate, around the wall, keeper's side, into the stanchion, and ran off laughing. I was like, oh my God. I tell you what, he had a good initiation when we first signed. It was normally like you have to do a speech about yourself. So he got up, he went, I'm Ian Hart, I've played in the World Cup, and I missed a penalty against Spain, and sat back down. We were buzzing.
Mate, he was a joke. He never even played left back, he played centre half, and he would just spray balls about, wouldn't he?
Mate, he scored 18 goals. From centre half. It was unbelievable. He was Rolls Royce, mate. He was frightening. It was like Charlie when Charlie played Championship, mate, and his left foot, the whip, and you know, the accuracy they get on that ball. You know, it's a massive asset to have in that league, because you know, a lot of goals are scored from set players. Charlie was scoring from corners. Ian Hart could probably do the same.
Mate, I'm absolutely devastated you've put Big Charlie in the same bracket as Ian Hart, man. He'll live off that forever.
He'll probably text me afterwards thanking me.
Mate, Ian Hart got a move. He got another move after Carlisle, didn't he? Because he was that good. Did he go back to Leeds?
No, he went to Reading.
Reading, that was right.
And he scored about 15 for them in the Championship. And then you went to Bournemouth.
Right, mate, you went to Watford. Why did you decide on Watford?
Well, Watford, the actual first person I spoke to was Brendan Rodgers. He put the deal in place.
Wow.
So he was in charge when I was, you know, coming to the end of me contract. Dick Carlisle and just speaking, and you know, obviously Watford was great. I felt as though I needed to move away. I felt as though I was, you know, I'd been around the Northeast all my life. I felt as though I needed to get away from friends and distractions, really, to be honest. I was 23 and I thought, if I'm going to kick on, I have to kick on now. You know, at Carlisle, mate, we were out every Saturday, Tuesday. You know, it was getting beyond a joke, to be honest. Me, Joe Garner, you know, young Gary Medine at the time. And
Gary Medine, that's right. What a guy, mate. He was wild, wasn't he?
What a guy. He's one of my good mates, to be honest, mate. I speak to him quite a lot.
Mate, were you the one not Carlisle fan?
No, I wasn't there. I'd left. But then he got in trouble at Sheffield as well, didn't he?
So he did.
Did he get locked up with Carlisle or did he get locked up with Sheffield? Sheffield Wednesday he got locked up. Yeah. Some Sheffield United fan swilled him and he's dislocated his jaw or something like that. He's done about 6 months inside. I went to visit him.
Did you?
Mate, took him some minstrels in that end.
He was a hard bastard, Gary Medine, man.
Oh, man. He is solid, yeah. He's a full-on animal. When he loses it, he loses the property, mate. It's scary.
Yeah. So that was your crew, you, Joe Garner and Gary Medine, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, mate. Joe was wild as well. And I was 22, 23, man. I was wild as well. So it was three of us just out all the time, mate. You know, balling around Carlisle steam and just wasn't good, mate.
What was Brendan Rodgers back then, sorry? Because obviously he wasn't a household name.
I spoke to him and obviously he was pretty much like he is now. So he must have had it drilled into him from early on in his managerial career how he was going to play and he would stick to that principle no matter what. So I spoke to him. Going back to the Watford thing, I spoke to him first and then he took off to Reading. And I went, nah. Well, listen, like you're thinking, oh, this deal isn't going to go through now. But luckily, Malky followed it up and then I had a conversation with him. Went down there, had a look around the training ground and stuff and, you know, obviously signed and it was probably one of the best decisions I made, to be honest.
Malcolm McKay was flying at that time. What made him so good then?
I thought a lot of it was his man management. He could handle the dressing room and keep everyone on side, which was massive. You know, he can be the best coach in the world for me, but if you get the respect of the boys, I think it goes a long way. You know, he'll do anything and everything for you. He was great with giving lads days off and, you know, he just had a knack of keeping everyone happy, which was, I think, massive for us at the time.
Mate, living in London, talk to me. How good?
Jeez. Probably another mistake, eh? I went from not being out in London at all to about 50 times in my first season.
is it that good, huh?
Yeah, it's that good, mate. And then, obviously, where I lived, it was right next to St. Albans, and that was lovely, mate. You could go in there on a Sunday session, sit in the bars all day. We had Stephen McGinn there, Don Cowie. You know, we had a good squad at the time, mate. And, you know, we did have a right good laugh along with it.
27 goals in your second season. What was that, Duna? Good players?
I think good players, but I feel as though the second season, Malky sort of, you know, built the squad around getting me chances. And obviously, Don Cowie, he must have set up half of my goals that season. We had Will Buckley at the time, who went on to Brighton and stuff. And he was flying. And, you know, everything I seemed to touch that season pretty much, you know, went in. Even if it wasn't a great strike, it would go in to keep his body or what. And it just seemed to, everything seemed to go my way. We were flirting with the playoffs around January time and there was a lot of interest in. You know, Marky pretty much begged me to stay, which I did, and I'm kind of glad I did because, you know, that is my best goal scoring season by far. And, you know, I had two unbelievable years at Watford.
But you kind of turned in the Premier League, mate.
No, I've got a good story about Watford, actually. So, that second season, I got in Team of the Year, so the lads have booked the table at the PFA Awards for the gala, you know, when you get your trophy and stuff for being in the team of the year. So we've went out early doors around St. Albans, all suited up and, stuff like that. Got to be there 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, something like that. Next thing, mate, it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. My phone's ringing. It's my agent. Where are you? We didn't turn up to the PFA, do mate. We just stayed out in London. Completely missed it. I didn't get my medal for 18 months.
Love that, mate. Fucking medal.
I got it in the house somewhere.
Yes, love that. So you just patched the awards and went out and got a steam in there?
Batched it, mate, and went out all day. There was 10 of us on the table. Not one turned up.
Love that, man. And then Swansea comes in, mate. Was it Brendan Rodgers that tipped it as well?
Yeah, it was, to be fair. I spoke to Neil Warnock, Roy Hodgson at West Brom at the time. So I'd met them first, and then obviously Swansea were in the playoffs, so I had to wait till, you know, about or not to speak to Brendan. You know, I went down to London the day after the playoff game, and within about 5 or 10 minutes, mate, I looked at my agent. I was like, that's where I'm going. Just the way he wanted to play football and, you know, high press, everything about it was... I felt it was always right for me at the time, and you know, I'm so glad I did go then. I had a great year with Brendan, who improved me massively as a player, and you know, probably improved every single one of us in the squad.
Mate, just talk to me. What was a meeting like with Neil Warnock?
Carnage.
Was it? What did he say?
No, he's just off it, mate. He was telling me about his story about adults wrapped. So he was like, I think it was Sean Derry who was captain in the championship season, and he took the captaincy off Sean Derry and gave it to Tarap, and he said, I think it was him, Derry, Clint Hill, Kenny and a few other boys were absolutely livid, because he apparently Tarap just like tossed training off, didn't turn up, come when he wanted to. But Warnock was like, no, listen, he says, so he got the five of them in, he says, listen, this guy will get us promoted, he says, just back me with it. Let him get on with what he has to do. He will get us to the Premier League. And sure enough, that season he was unbelievable and got him to the Premier League. And he said all five of them went in at the end of the season and thanked him for what he'd done, which was great. Mate. But yeah, he was sound. To be fair, one you could tell he was he was all for the lads, mate. He was telling me if he didn't want to play in reserve games, you know, you didn't have to, you just have to look after him sort of thing. And he seemed a bit wild. But I think for me, mate, the poll for Swansea was the way they played massively Brendan.
Mate, I coached the kids at Celtic when Rodgers was the manager. And see, when you speak to him about football, it blows your mind though, doesn't it?
Oh, mate, he knows everything. He knows everything about everyone. And you just don't know how he does it. It's mad, mate. But, He was funny, Brendan, because he used to try and speak Spanish to the Spanish boys in training and stuff, and they were like, he doesn't have a clue, he can't pronounce the sayings right. But they were just replying like, oh, yeah.
Love that, man.
He was great, mate. He was great, to be fair, mate. He's another great way of dealing with everyone and keeping the squad happy.
What's his training like?
Unreal. Mate, I went in, obviously.
It was all possession boxes.
Everything was football related. I think we'd done one day running, but it was the easiest runs we've probably ever done, mate. The rest of it was small possession games, 5-a-side games, and then you just make the areas bigger as the session went on. Everything was with the football. Even warm-ups was with the football. Pass it to a guy, the man that can do your stretch in between. Constantly, everything was with the ball.
Mate, it's mad how he does that, because as I say, I've watched him train a couple of times. It just goes from a small box to a bigger box to a bigger, yeah. And everything's in the same area. It blows your mind, eh?
It blows your mind, mate. I couldn't believe it, mate. Hands down, the best manager I've had. Hands down. And I think he'll only get better as well. You know, obviously, you look where he went. He done so well at Liverpool, and so close to win the league. And then obviously Celtic, he pretty much won everything going, and then I think he's done a great job at Leicester as well.
I always ask people that played under him this question, like, does he ever get angry?
Very, very rarely. Very rarely. Long as you're trying to do the right thing, he really, you know, hasn't got you. If he thinks you're doing something different, what, you know, he doesn't think suited to our game plan, then he'd probably have a go at you. But I've never seen him really, really angry, no.
Mate, what a team that Swansea team was. Who was that? Who was the best player? Leon Britton was ridiculous, wasn't he?
Leon Britton was great, mate. It was mad, mate. He's about 3 foot 5, but in possession, even like smaller possessions and stuff, he just couldn't get the ball off him. It was strange to see. We had Joe Allen as well in the midfield, mate. And, you know, obviously he moved on to Liverpool when Brendan went there. He was another one, unbelievable centre midfield, like good. He had a great team, the centre backs, Ashley Williams, Steve Corker, you know, complemented each other well. Brendan was good with that. He seemed to find the right blend and mix, and, you know, he fitted it all into the starting 11 and the subs on the bench. You know, if they come on, they can do the exact same job.
My mate's played with Stephen Colker at Dundee and said he's miles off of it. Was he the same back then?
Miles off of what, as a player?
No, as a guy.
Aye, he's miles off it, mate. He was mad. Mad, mate. He was a big drinker. Just mental, mate. He was non-stop. He was a young lad playing week in, week out in the Premier League. He was mad. To be fair, mate, he wasn't the only one. There was me, Leroy Lita, Nathan Dyer to a certain extent. There was a lot of us, mate, who went out and had a good time. But Cork's certainly up there.
What a guy. Mate, he's made a fortune. He's over in China now. He's made a fortune, isn't he?
He's been all over. He went on loan at the Liverpool at one point. So I couldn't believe it, mate.
Listen,
he is a good lad. He is a good lad, Cox. And, you know, last season he had at Swansea, he was very, very good.
Did Brendan no mind just going out and having a good time there?
Not really, mate, no. I think I only ever got pulled into his office once.
What was that for?
For a night out. It was something like, I think it was like 2 or 3 days before a game. Must have been 3 days before a game. And he pulled me out and he said, listen, I don't mind when it's Saturday. I think it was a Saturday-Wednesday game and I went out and he was like, no, it doesn't happen. He says, you go out when it's Saturday, that's fine. But when there's midweek games and stuff like that, he says, don't do it again. Which was fair enough, I suppose. But we always used to have Sunday, Monday off, mate. And, you know, a lot of the lads were out quite a bit. Living down there, it was good fun, mate. It was real good fun.
What is that? I used to like Leroy Lita when I played it. He was quite chirpy, wasn't he?
Oh, Lita's brilliant, mate. He is a madman, him. He is off it. He doesn't care about anything. He's so chilled, laid back, loves a drink. You know, good footballer as well, mate. I don't think he got a lot of credit for how good he actually was as a player. But he was an even better lad.
He was flying at Reading as well, wasn't
he? Yeah. Flying, mate. Flying.
How did you find the Premier League? Who was the toughest centre half you played against?
The toughest pairing was Ferdinand and Vidic. I thought they complemented each other so well, mate. I don't even think we got a shot in 2 games against them that season. And obviously Vincent Kompany. He was a man mountain. Strong, quick, you know. Probably one of the best centre-halves of the Premier League scene, in my opinion, Kompany.
What about best player overall? Was there anyone that you played against and you thought he is a joke?
Hazard. Probably Gareth Bale at the last season before he moved to Real. He was frightening that scene. I remember we played him, and this is at Sunderland, and the young lad made his debut, and the whole team talk was, do not show Bale inside on his left foot. This young lad come in, he danced in past him on off his off the right hand side, and whips one, we got beat by 1-0. He stuck a top in. But yeah, Bale was special, mate, that season, before he went to Real.
What was Swansea like for a night out? Good place.
No, unreal, mate, yeah. Unreal. Wine Street, mate. They used to put bollards up in the bottom of the street and at the top of the street. And it was just like being an older, mate. Everyone was out on the street drinking. No cars could get up there. It was carnage, mate. Me and Leroy went out on a Sunday one time. we'd been out on the Saturday. We always had Sunday, Monday off when it was week to week. So we went out on the Sunday. We were steaming, mate. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were starving. We were like, come on, we're grabbing Nando's. So we've come outside of Nando's. There's a group of kids, no older than 14, on scooters. So me and Leo were like, oh, give us a go on this, mate. Next thing, we've took off. We took off on the kids' scooters. All the way up the street, and there's about 10 of them running after us. It was carnage, mate.
Love that.
It was a real good, real good time down there, mate. It wasn't massive, the centre and stuff like that, but real nice people, real good night out, and more importantly, we had a good team as well, mate, which was nice.
And you finished top scorer that season for the club. That'd be your most enjoyable season in football.
Yeah, I would say so. Obviously, the one at Watford when I scored 27, it's different, obviously, with it being in the Championship. But to finish top goal scorer for Swansea in my first season in the Premier League was massive. You know, I didn't really have any doubts that I would not score goals in the Premier League coming off the back of the season I had at Watford. I felt confident, and, you know, I ended up with 14 that season, and, you know, I was more than happy with the return I had.
See, when you're doing well for Brendan, does he make you feel like the best player in the world?
Oh, mate, yeah, massively, yeah. I remember we played Newcastle away, and he pulled me in his office and he started talking, and he was on about, oh, listen, you're not going to be playing this game. And, you know, I walked out his office thinking, I walked out feeling good.
But then, you dropped it.
I'm sure he told me I'm not playing. And when I was saying, obviously, we'd done the shape and I wasn't playing, but I still felt unreal even after what he sent me. But I just didn't quite register it somehow. So he must have had a knack of, you know, how to talk to people and keep everyone on side. But even if you played on a Saturday and, you know, the boys would do a cool down on a Monday, Tuesday, he would stay with a group who hadn't played and he would look after them. So he had a good way of keeping everyone together, mate. It was clever how he done it, mate, to be honest.
Because usually you'd get a manager who would just concentrate solely on the first 11, isn't it?
Yeah. But he didn't. He was the opposite. He would never be with us after a game, or if we played or we didn't play. He would always be the ones who hadn't started and didn't play enough minutes, so they had to do the bits of extra.
Have you got a like? He's quite known for strange team talks. Have you got like a favourite one?
Do you know what, mate? It's a long time ago. I can't really remember what he used to say, to be honest.
Did he say the one about he was the driver of the aeroplane? The sailing boy says he used to say that quite a bit.
No, I didn't hear that one, no. I would have picked up on that one for sure. But I do remember when he signed for Liverpool. Obviously, it's Swansea. We were getting our training ground built, so the offices were tiny. He signed for Liverpool, and the office is obviously huge. So he stood at the back of it, and he's got someone to take a picture from the front of it, and like you can see him with his arms out like that, and he's about this big. And he sent it to all the staff at Swansea. So get on this new office.
No chance.
Oh, it was brilliant, mate. Brilliant.
What a guy. Were you devastated when he left, Danny?
Yeah, I was, to be honest, mate. I felt as though we were going to have a real good season the second season. Obviously, he would have added some more players and, you know, freshened it up a bit and kept people on the toes. So I was devastated, but, you know, I can't really fault him. If Liverpool come calling for anyone, it's a no-brainer, really.
See, when he signed Joe Allen, did you not think there was any a wee sniff that he'd maybe take you now?
Nah, no chance. I feel as though the too many nights out on Wine Street. Spoil that. No, I don't think so, mate. I look at some of the strikers Liverpool had at the time, and, you know, I don't think it would have been right for me to even contemplate being a Liverpool player, to be honest with you.
Mate, then an absolute legend comes in, man. Michael Laudrup. What was Michael, he like?
He was the best player in training by a mile. He was unreal, mate.
Would he join in every day?
He would join it, mate. No, the little rundowns you do, 5v2. Yeah. He done one of them in America for about 15 minutes, and I swear he did not go in the middle once.
Wow.
Unreal. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, he joined in pretty much most days, mate. His finishing was a joke. His passing was a joke. He was still fit. just everything, mate. You could obviously see how good of a player he really was when he was, you know, playing at Barca and Real Madrid.
And did anyone smash him?
No, you couldn't get near him. Mental.
What was he like as a guy? Was he having himself?
Not really, mate. He was quite quiet, to be honest. He kind of come in and just continued on what Brendan did, really. He didn't do a great deal apart from pick the team, if the truth be told. Everything was in place. You know, we had a certain way of playing, and I don't think the chairman wanted that to change. And he just kind of come in, mate, and just rolled with it, really.
So what, would he probably join in more than he would actually coach,
yeah? Oh, yeah, more so than he coach, yeah. A lot of it was down to his assistant and first-team coach. He would join in and make a mockery of us and, you know, just go home and stew over the team, probably.
Would he ever take the piss out of you that he was better than this?
No, he wouldn't. Honestly, he was so quiet. It was scary. He barely said two words. Even like his first meeting, you know, he was thinking, wow, that's not really got us going, that, to be honest. He was like quite dour, to be honest. It was a bit surreal, but like I said, mate, he didn't really have to do a lot or change a lot because everything was in place.
Mm-hmm. The arrival of Michu, did that in his form, did that kill you a bit, mate? Huh?
Well, me and Michu, we started off the season. We played QPR away, beat them 5-0. We played West Ham at home, beat them 3-0 first couple of games, and we both scored goals in the opening game. So, you know, I felt as though it was going to be a good partnership. And then I can't remember what game it was. I think it was Reading at home. I come off at half time. And then after that, he went on the craziest run of goals, mate, I've seen. He was flying, mate. Not many defenders could really cope with him. He was big, physical, quite quick. Would put his head in. And, you know, I think he ended up with 19 goals his first season, mate, which is ridiculous for a £2 million signing.
Mate, he's an absolute myth, though, man. What's happened to him?
I've got no idea. I think he's lost in Swansea somewhere. He must be, mate. No, to be fair, the last I'd seen of him, really, he went to Napoli, didn't he, on loan? And then I think he had a real bad injury, or he had something wrong with his ankles. And after that, he was never the same. And he tried to go back to Swansea, but he'd obviously tried to force the move to Napoli as well with Gary Monk. And he come back and Monk was like, nah, I don't think so. And then after that, mate, I think last I seen he was playing third division in Spain for his brother's team or something.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What was he like as a guy? Is he chilled?
Yeah, he's so chilled. But on the pitch, mate, he had this switch. He would like scream in centre-half's faces and, you know, he'd wind them up massively. They would try and boot him and then he'd just get back up and laugh at them and, you know, probably go and score a goal later on in the game. So, you know, it was good to see, actually. He had like a chilled side of him off the pitch. spot on it. He was a bit of a lunatic, mate.
Was he ever? You would never think that, mate.
Yeah, no. I remember him screaming in people's faces, centre half's face, isn't it? Mad.
Just what about in the dressing room we used? Would you crack up?
Oh, yeah. Like, there was him, Chico Flores come in the centre half, and I don't think they'd seen a dressing room like us, mate. It was carnage, mate. We were driving on, like, lads are sitting on car bonnets, mate, driving across to the training ground and stuff like that, mate, and they're looking, thinking, what is going on here? Lads hanging on as we're going around corners and stuff, mate. It was crazy. They were just like, nah, you lot are mental. But then, saying that on the Christmas do's and that, mate, they were there all the time, and they would have a drink, but I don't think they would have a drink, much throughout the season, to be honest.
Nah. You were still having an important input, mate. You scored v Chelsea in the League Cup semi-final. Did you not want to stay and fight for your place?
No, mate, I didn't. I hadn't really played a lot, and I only come on that game as sub as well. So I think I'd got back in the team, and I think it was I had something like 3 and 4 games, and I didn't start the semis. Away, obviously, he played Michu up front. Obviously, he scored, and then I come on the second half, and I think Ivanovic has played a back pass, and he's not realised I was there. And then I've made a 2-0. But I hadn't played a great deal, mate. And to be honest, I've always been about wanting to play football week in, week out. And I had a conversation with Laudrup and mentioned that I wanted to leave. He was saying, no, we need to keep you. But then, obviously, there was more interest coming in, there was bids coming in, and then that allowed me to kind of push it a bit more.
And then Sunderland, mate. This is where the fun starts, isn't it, Sunderland? Right. Martin O'Neill, mate, obviously massive up in Scotland for Celtic fans. Do you like him? Is he a hero here?
I like him, mate. I didn't get to spend enough time with him before he got sacked, obviously. I met him a few times, obviously, before the move, went through. And I loved the way he spoke. And obviously, I'd spoke to a few lads who I knew who were at Sunderland at the time. And I heard he was great with the players for days offs, and his training was good and stuff like that. So I was really excited to work with him. And then a few games in, mate, we all get a message saying he's got the sack. And after that, it was just manager after manager, and it was a bit of a car crash, really.
Because I don't know if you've watched Fletcher's interview, but Fletch, was it you that Martin O'Neill wanted you to do a trick?
Is this the Dubai one?
Yeah.
So we get on the plane, obviously, winter training camp, get on the train, to Dubai. Next thing, the lad ordered.
I had to do it about 17 days, man.
Still on it now? So next thing I hear, I'll have a bottle of wine. I'm thinking, who's that? Turn around, it's a few of the boys. So next thing, like, oh, yeah, go on. So next, there's rows of us, the lads, just drinking wine and cans of Heineken and stuff like that. Next thing, God, can we have another one? No, the plane's dry. And along, mate, and the lads are spangled. And I'm thinking, wow, what a start this is. So we get there, we get the hotel. We get the hotel, mate, late. Lee Catmore, Titus Bramble have said, right, get to our rooms. We'll order some more drink. So I'm thinking, I've only just signed about 4 weeks ago. So anyways, it was Fletch who chapped on me door, actually, because he was next door to me. He went, come on, we'll go down. Next thing, it's 10 to 6. We're training. We've got to be on the coach at 9. I'm thinking, oh my God. So we get up, and the ball played on that day. They'd done like a kind of a cool down, and the rest of us done like 1v1s for like 3 minutes. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I could be sick at any point of this. So I'm up against a defender, Keda Mangoya, he's called. I don't even think he played for Sunderland. I remember his one sub appearance. So I'm thinking, right, 1-on-1, 3 minutes. I think, I'll beat him, yeah. Man, I'm 4-0 down. And I'm looking around thinking, oh, the lads are pissing themselves on the side. And I'm thinking, oh my God. So Martin O'Neill's gone, Dan, get at him. So I'm still steaming. I'm trying to get at him, and I fell over the ball. He went 5-0 down. He just blew the whistle. He went, that's enough. I'm laying on the floor going, oh my God. So the lads are absolutely caning me on the bus. and the gaffers chirped up. So, to be fair, mate, he was sound about it. He knew I had a beer and stuff, and he said something, and I've just heard it in the back, and I went, "Gaffer, hopefully you haven't seen me to take players on," and just like sat back down in my seat, and the whole bus has erupted, and I'm thinking, have I really just said that? And then I'm looking around, and Fletch is crying, and everyone's crying. I'm thinking, oh, what an idiot I am, yeah. But to be fair, you've seen the funny side of it, man.
Any other man on your stories, mate? Because he can go through boys, can't he? Like, he can be quite funny with people when he's slaughtering them.
Yeah, but like it was hard, mate. I didn't really have that much time. I remember his assistant, Wally, was Carlos Quella. He pointed out, I was there for about 2 days, and he went, "Dan, have you ever seen a Spanish player with no technique?" I went, no, not really. He went, "Well, have a look at him." Pointed to Carlos, mate. And I'm keeled over thinking, wow. Carlos is just laughing at him. I was thinking, jeez. Mate, that trip.
He was ruthless, Steve Over, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, mate. "Have you ever seen a Spanish player with no technique?" I was like, "No," he just went, "Well, there's one there." That was it. Like, oh, wow.
Did you ever get a beer with Martin O'Neill?
I barely got a team talk off him. He was off.
What about as tight as Bamble? Is he wild as well?
Oh, T's great, mate. Titus actually lived on the place I live now when he was a Sunderland mate, and he was mad. He was a single bloke, mate, living up here, out all the time. You know, God knows what else he was up to, mate. But do you know what? With T, I actually didn't realise how good of a centre-half he was until I actually played with him. Mm. He was way better than people give him credit for. He was so strong and quick, and you know, he kind of knew your movements before you knew them. Do you know what I mean? He was always seems to be one step ahead. But he was a great guy, mate. Loved him. We had a right squad there. When Martin O'Neill got sacked, actually, it was Fletcher's birthday in Glasgow, and a lot of us come up. So we're out, and I can't remember where we had it in Glasgow, this nightclub, mate. It seemed to be like a 2 or 3 floor thing. So while next thing, one of the lads gets a message, Martin O'Neill's been sacked. We're like, oh, wow, no way. So everyone's trying to scramble because we had Saturday, Sunday up there, thinking we'd be off on the Monday. So everyone's scrambling, like, oh, no way, what's happening? Oh, then next thing we get a message saying, oh, listen, you're still off on Monday. We'll see you all Tuesday. So we're like, oh, jackpot. So Sunday, is it the golf lounge?
Yeah, golf lounge, mate.
In Glasgow, mate. We're teeing up balls, mate, and chipping them into the restaurant. I'm thinking, oh, this isn't going to end up well, yeah. So we're sat outside. It's down the steps, isn't it? You walk down the steps. We're sat outside, Matthew Kilgallen is went, I'll get the round in. So as he's getting a big like round in the shots and drinks, get a message, he's in tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We're thinking, oh, wow. This is like tea time, 5, 6 o'clock. We're thinking we're going to have to get back here. So we walk upstairs. We're walking down the street. Next thing, Killers come out with a big tray of shots and bottles and stuff. And he went, lads, what are you doing? He went, we're in tomorrow. We're going to have to go. And he just went, yeah. Just tipped him and we carried on walking. It's just all smashed on the floor. And we just carried on walking. I was like, wow. So we got back. And that was the start of the De Canio. That was when we found out De Canio was in the next day.
Mate, what? See, first meeting, what sort of stuff has he said?
Oh, just, Lord, mate. He was so agitated from the moment he got in there, mate. It was weird. He seemed to have a bee in his bonnet, and you know, he's saying we weren't good enough. We'd underperformed. You know, basically laying into us to try and get a reaction. And to be fair, mate, it kind of worked for 2 or 3 games, but then, you know, once it kind of fizzled out there, that little run, he became a bit brutal, to be honest, mate.
See, I know how you said about the 35 runs. Was there any other things that he's done or he said that you thought, like, wow, what is this?
Oh, mate, after we beat Newcastle, mate, he said he was going to go home and ram a banana up his arse and have a wank. And I'm sitting there thinking, surely that's not enjoyable. Let's just go and have a few pints.
Did he say why?
No, but I bet he did it.
Mate, he was like that boss at Swindon, mate. He always used to talk about stuff like that, eh?
Mate, he used to like spit on his own, like, you spit up in the air and let it slap off his forehead and that. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's not even funny. You just make yourself look weird, mate.
Yeah, would anyone ever have a go back at him, Danny? It's quite scary, isn't
not
it?
Not at the start. Yeah, he is, to be fair, mate. But a lot of the lads, did you have the little fitness coach?
Claudio, yeah.
He used to click and all this all the time.
Yeah.
But, mate, he I think he kind of got us first because he was clicking it like John O'Shea, Wes Brown, mate. These guys have won Champions League and like there's ways and means to like talk to people and that, mate. But he was clicking at people and like the lads were like, what are you doing, mate? Like, but Di Canio at the start, mate, he wasn't too bad. And like I say, it was more when we kind of went on a bad run and things weren't going great. He would, you know, I remember we'd done a drill with the mannequins. Did you ever do that one where you play against just mannequins in the 11v11? And yeah. someone crossed the ball and young Connor Wickham missed his header. And he started screaming at him from the centre thingy, I will fight you and all this. And I'm thinking, what? He's 19-year-old, what are you doing? He was really, like, mad. I remember we'd done 11v11 the day before a game. And I think it was Craig Garner at the time. He's drilled a ball out to the right and it's missed Phil Bardsley and went out of play. And he stopped the session, mate, and made us do a few doggies. We're like, what the? What are you doing? Yeah. It's all like everything had to be perfect, but you know in football it's never that way, is it? But in his eyes it was, mate.
Mate, I wanted to ask you this because see when he was at Swindon, he was always on the strikers, man. See, because he was a striker.
He
was constantly pattering their strikers. Was he the same as
you? Yeah, constantly, mate. He used to be fair, mate, he's finishing was a joke. He said, no, this is how you do it, mate. And he'd take a touch and he just whip it in the top bin. And then he'd look at you like, yeah, you're crap, mate. That's how you do it, you're crap. And I was like, come on, man. But yeah, he was, to be fair, mate. And it obviously all boiled over to a point where, you know, we'll get onto that in a bit, where we all had a meeting and we all just went through him, basically.
Now, right, we'll come to that in a bit, but I just want to ask you, last question on him when he first came in. How did you find the diet stuff and no butter, no ice and that?
Man, we went to Italy, right, and we're in this nice hotel and what have you. And it was just pasta for 10, well, I was only there 7 days. For the 7 days, mate, it was pasta, no ketchup, no nothing, just whatever they brung out, you had to eat. And we were like, nah, this can't be happening. Then we had a game, mate, right? We had a game just in a local playing field, it was only against his mates. We're looking over, mate, having fags and everything, and big, massive bellies on them. Looked over and went, nah, that can't be the team we're playing. And it was all his mates, mate. It was 13-0 at half time.
Mate, we played the same team at Swindon. Oh, his mates. We would have went to the exact same place.
Mate, I couldn't believe it, mate. He was buzzing as well afterwards. We were 13-0 at half time. Like, what are we getting out of this game? But, mate, his sessions, I can't remember which way around it was. It was either morning was like tactical stuff, and then afternoon was just absolute slogs, running around the track and everything. 200s, 400s, 600s, 800s, 800s, 600s. Mate, mental amount of running.
And mate, that's the most running I've ever done. You the same?
Yeah, ever, mate, yeah. Ever. But like, it got to the point where it wasn't even getting you anywhere because you were that tired and fatigued, mate. You weren't getting anything out of the session. And if you said that, you would just hit the roof, mate, because he apparently told us even on his days off, he used to go training and all this.
Why was your time cut short at Hull, moving back to Middlesbrough?
So, obviously, in the January, Brucey had signed Sheong and Jelovic, and I was on loan, so I kind of thought, you know, I'm probably not going to play. So, I took it upon myself again, mate, to go back and find another solution where I was going to play week in, week out. And, you know, Middlesbrough's on my doorstep. It's a team I started at when I was younger, so it was an ideal opportunity for me to go back and score some goals and you know, hopefully try and make the move there permanent.
Another big name, mate. Cranky was your manager second time at Borough. How was he?
I enjoyed him, to be fair, mate. He had a good way of playing. He wanted to play the right way, get the ball down and work through the lines and stuff like that. His English wasn't too great at the time, but obviously you have to get him by. And then obviously I think I'd scored about six or seven goals in that time. And, you know, I thought it was possible for to get a move there, but for whatever reason that didn't happen. So I haven't got a lot of time for him now.
Right, various loan spells while at Sunderland before ending up at Blackburn. First two gaffers were Scottish, Paul Lambert and Owen Coyle. How were they two?
I loved Lambo. I loved him, mate. Yeah, I really enjoyed him, mate. He was great with the older I was only 30 at the time, and he just had a way of managing the senior players. And, you know, I remember being in meetings on a Friday and, you know, he'd ask you how you feel. And, you know, if you said you were a bit stiff, he'd say, right, stay inside, have a cup of tea, get a massage, come out at 11:45, watch a set players. And just little things like that, mate. You don't really do a lot on a Friday anyways, but just little things like that was great. And it allowed me to do well, I think, in my loan spell there. I enjoyed his coaching. I enjoyed his banter, to be fair, mate. He was, obviously, the Dortmund thing comes up quite a bit in the Champions League. And I remember we were doing a run down with him, actually, and the ball's come to me. He's directly opposite me. So I've slapped this ball through the two in the middle, and it went to him, and he's miscontrolling. And I went, didn't you play for Dortmund? And then he just looked at me with a stare, and I was thinking, oh, no, here we go again. What have I said? Then, shut up. But he was great, mate. And to be fair, he was honest as the day's long. He said if he didn't get any backing off the venues, he was off. And true to his word, mate, I think it was the second last game of the season, he said, listen, boys, these games I'm off, which I was quite gutted about, to be honest.
What did he say when you said, didn't you play for Dortmund?
No, he just glared at me, like, do not say that again, sort of glare. And I was like, oh, no. That won't be coming up again.
What about Owen Coyle?
Where do I start, man? Honestly, we played 4-4 open. We were mental. I think the first seven games, we played 4-4-2, mate. Zero team shape. Zero, like, working on anything. And we had 2 points out of seven games. And he still kept his job. I was thinking, wow, that's incredible. That's like sackable form for anyone. But his training, mate, it was offside. There was no like tactical stuff or anything. It was mad. Strange, mate. Strange. We used to start every five-a-side game with a goal. You'd throw one up and you'd volley it. You could be 1-0 up, mate, and the other team haven't even touched the ball. Like, wow. But then we cottoned on to him. So every team talk at the grounds, you would do it on the treatment table. So I think one day the bed was all messed up and he's tidied it all up, all the towels, put them all straight, put the bed, like all this stuff. So we thought, we've cottoned on to it. We thought, now we'll do it again. So we've moved like more stuff and he's tidied everything up. So we thought, oh, next thing, we'll put a load of Vaseline and stuff on the handles where you bring the head down. So we're all sitting there like this waiting for him. Sure enough, towel straightens it all out. Ramsey's hand on the thing, pulls it down, looks at it, mate, and it's just loaded with cream and everything. We are absolutely crying. And he's going, yeah, good one that, lads. And he opens up this folder with his team on and we're like, oh my God, we're getting beat today then.
Oh my God, man. We've had loads of people who have played under him and said he would join in as well. Same at Blackburn.
Oh my, he would join in. And to be fair, don't get me wrong. See, he's finishing and stuff. His finishing was very good. Very, very good. And he used to join in the drills, not like the crossing and finishing drills. And if a winger had like put a bad cross on, he'd be like, nah, nah, nah. He'd go out on the left. Someone would play him a ball across. honestly, his technique was decent, to be fair. He'd whip it, someone would slap it in, and he'd go, "That's how you do it, fellas. I'm breastfeeding yous. I'm breastfeeding yous." And then he'd run back in the middle to get a shot. And I was like, "Wow, this is our gaffer, yeah." And he used to do, Friday, like, he used to chip the ball into him, and then he would throw it up for like a half volley or a full volley or whatever. The next thing, he's like, "Right, whoever was last in the line," he'd say, "Right there, I'll chip one to you." So he'd chip the ball up, the lad would throw it up, he'd connect with it, and he'd go, "No." The lads are crying on the floor, going, "What was that?" He used to do it all the time, and we were having him off me, thinking, "Oh, what are you doing?" Yeah. Meow. We only ever done one team shape in his time there, mate. It was against Man United. And why are you doing it against them? We're more likely going to get beaten anyways. Do it against Burton on Saturday. Doing against United, they've got Ibrahimovic and Pogba. Yeah, good one. Cheers. Oh, to be fair, mate, he told some good stories. See what on Kyle would be? He would be the one of the best number twos. He'd be unreal, mate. He's just all for the boys, mate. He was telling us a story when he got Burnley promoted. So obviously he got £1 million, I think it was, something like bonus for getting them promoted as the gaffer. We're like, "Oh, like, what did you say to them afterwards?" And that, we like buzzing. Because he doesn't drink, does he? He just drinks Iron Brew, mate. That's all he drinks, mate. He'd take you in the office and he'd ask you if you want an Iron Brew at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I went, what did you say to the Burnley boys afterwards? He went, "Oh, you know, I just said whatever, whatever." And I went, "Listen, lads, thanks a million." At the end of it. I was like, "Oh my God, there's no way." He went, yeah, it was a good one, that. And then, thanks a million.
I love that part of the rest. Any other story there, sensational? Any more, or is that uncoiled story?
I'm trying to think, mate. He used to do a game. Mate, bear in mind, this is a professional club in the Championship, mate. We're trying to graft our nuts off to do well, and we're just playing games, mate, and you go to the 6-yard line and you know the goal, so you take the net off them, the whole net. So you'd run from the 6-yard to the goal line, you throw the ball up, head it off the bar, catch it, throw it back. So your teammates had to do that. Then the next one is you had to do 2 headers off the bar, and then the third one you had to run and then flick it over the bar, but then catch it on the other side. And we're looking at each other thinking, what on earth are we? We've got a game tomorrow and we're doing this sort of warm-up, mate. I was like, wow, what is going on here? But, mate, honestly, I don't know how he's staying in the job as long as he did. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him as well, by the way, because he was a great guy and I do think he'd be great number two. But we didn't even do stuff, mate. There was meetings after meetings. Oh, that's what we started to do. So there was a Christmas dinner, right? And we called a meeting ourselves with his assistant. I'm sure he was called Sandy.
Sandy Stewart.
So we called a meeting, right? Yeah, Stuart, that's him. Yeah, yeah. So we called a meeting, mate, and there's 25 of us in there. Danny Guthrie and the gaffer's not in there. So we're like talking like, "Listen, we need to do this. We need to do more shit. We need to work on stuff, blah, blah, blah." So Gus is outside with the gaffer, and obviously Christmas dinner's like being announced over the tannoy. Yeah, it's ready. He comes chapping on the door. So Gus went, "Oh, what's happening there?" And he turned to Gus and went, "Mate, don't worry about them. We know what's going on." And walked off and sat at his Christmas dinner. We're having a serious conversation, mate, about, "No, this is what you do more shape," and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, "Don't worry about that, mate. We know what's going on." Went and sat at his Christmas dinner. They're like, "What is going on here?" Just didn't want anything to do with technical stuff, mate. It was mad.
Oh, real man. Right, mate. And then Tony Mowbray comes in, still the manager now. Had him at Celtic. You liked him?
I think we had a love-hate relationship, to be honest, mate. I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks into his the job. I drove down on a Friday, day before a game. Obviously, I used to stay over the day before the game, and I went the M6 way, and I think it was one of the only M6 way in my career just to change it up. And there's a massive smash, mate, and I'm stuck. It took me 5 hours to get in. So I get there like just before set plays at the end of the session. Obviously, there's nothing I could do about it, mate. It was a big accident, bloody blow. So I get in, and then he pulls me straight after training. He's like, "Oh, you're not playing tomorrow." I was like, "What?" He went, "Oh, no." He says, "You were late." He says, "I need to make a stand. So you're not playing." I was like, "Nah, come on." I said, "I couldn't do anything about that. It's a genuine reason. Like, there's traffic and there's been an accident." No, he was like, "Nah, I have to make a stand." So I was like, "Right, whatever." So I ended up getting back in the team and doing well towards the end of the season, even though we got relegated. And then the start of the championship again, he brought in Dominic Samuel from Reading for 500,000. And I started the season, and then I don't think I played. I played the first two games, and then I didn't get into the team until probably November time. And I was thinking, you've sat me in the office thinking, telling me that I'm going to get you 25 goals and get you promoted. Yeah, after two games, I am completely out of the squad, not getting on in games. And I'm thinking, wow, this is mad. So we had a kind of a love-hate relationship throughout the time there. But listen, I had four and a half of the best years at Blackburn, especially after me time with Sunderland.
It's a weird dynamic, mate, him and Vino, isn't it?
They're a complete opposite. Complete opposite, mate. Vino wants to play a certain way, the gaffer wants to play his way, and it's I don't know how they work, to be honest, mate. Obviously, I know they're good friends and stuff, but in terms of football and in terms of the way they want to play the game, they're both completely different.
Yeah. Right, mate, dressing room, as you said, Mulgrew, Bradley, Dak. Is that one of the best dressing rooms you've played in?
Yeah, I would say so, mate. Yeah, I would. Obviously, because I got a lot of time in it as well. I got 4.5 years, mate. Probably three years with most of them in there. Obviously, Charlie and his stories, and you know, he just constantly makes the boys laugh, mate. And he was a great captain. I feel as though he's harshly done by, to be honest, to find himself, you know, out on loan and stuff like that after what he'd done for the club. I think the gaffer made a point of we conceded 67 goals or something. Well, this season we conceded 64 and Charlie didn't play, so I feel as though it's kind of harsh. But listen, football, and as Daki, me and Daki had the craziest 6 months to League One season. That's probably why he didn't play, actually. The start of League One, Daki signed, and I remember I hadn't met him, but he was walking through the door of his agent, and I'd look on YouTube to see how we played and stuff like that. And I saw, you could tell he used to like to arrive in the box at the right time, and he always found space. So as he walked through the door, the first thing I said to him, I didn't even say, I said, "Have you signed?" He went, "No, just now." I said, "Well, get it signed." And I said, "I'll get you 15 goals a season," and walked off. So he signed. We went away on pre-season. We got our night out in the end. Always seems to be about a night out, doesn't it? We got a night out in the end, and then it's about, I'm sharing with Jason Steele, it's about all four, and we're ordering drinks in the room. Beastie, Daki, I think it was a couple of others, Dom being in there. So next thing, look, it's 6 o'clock. Thinking, wow, this is carnage. So we get up the next day, and then we go back out again, right? Before we fly back, and we get we're in this boozer, and we get a taxi from the boozer back to the hotel, and we parked outside the hotel. Bear in mind, we're steaming, and I've got no money on me, so I think, right, if I sit at this side of the sea, we get out the front door, I can just scarp inside the pay. Next thing, mate, the four lads have run past me. No one's paid the taxi, mate. It was €23. Next thing, we're in a police station in Austria for about 3 hours. Gaffer's going ballistic. Well, like, none of us had €23. it was just all hell breaking loose. So me and Ducky had some good times early on, mate, like going out and got pulled into the gaffer's office 3 or 4 times before October. Yeah.
Mate, please tell me you never went vegan as well, man.
Mate, I think about 12 of us did, right? Before we come back, 19% body fat. So you come back at 19.2. And so we were like, a few of that. Caddy?
Oh, caddies.
Mate, it was unbelievable. So there's a few of us may come back not in great shape, right? So a few of the lads were like, oh, come on, we'll get on this vegan thing together. We'll give it a right good go. So we had a right good go, mate, and everyone's like sticking to it. Everyone's losing a lot of weight. Next thing, we're getting to the game against Southend, mate. First game, we had zero energy. We got licked off Southend away. We were thinking, nah, scrap that vegan thing. Screw up, mate. It was brilliant, mate. Caddy was, oh, mate, he's a great guy, you know, Caddy. Oh, absolutely love him.
Great guy.
Technically very good as well, isn't he? Yeah. Knows the game inside out, mate. I really liked him, mate, but he could pile on the pounds, couldn't he?
He's a fatty dick, isn't he?
Mate, you were saying he was driving in the train and one day and he was hungry and he seemed to watch the side of the car seat and he picked him up and started eating him. Half 8 in the morning on the way to training.
What a hero, man. You remember, but we were in Dublin at the same time as you for a Christmas do. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, vaguely, yeah, but I do.
Mate, you were heroes for, man. Big Charlie, I had a Peterhead strip and Big Charlie, but you were all holding up. What a group you were. But yeah. Mate, Big Charlie still, where he pulls his trousers right to his ankles when he's in a toilet in a nightclub.
Yeah, he loves that one. Oh, mate, what a guy he is. I can't stress how funny he is, mate. He's mental. Just the way he tells the story as well, is it's first class, mate. Well, if it's true or not, it's first class. Did he tell you the one about the young kid at Blackburn?
No, go tell us it.
This young kid come in, right? Jack Evans, he's called. And it was something like YB, something like on the gym program, right? It was YB. So he's coming, he's like, lads, obviously Charlie's on the last person you want in there, Charlie. So Charlie's on the treatment bed, goes, what, you don't know what YB is? Like, dead straight faced. Next thing he's went, it's a Yankee Bravo. The young lad's like, what? He's like, no, it's a Yankee Bravo. He's like, have you not done it before? He says, oh, no, it's like, it's new on my program. He says, do you know how to do it? So I'll move this back to you. So Charlie's went, yeah, watch, I'll show you. So he gets up, mate, right? He's, you know, the pull-up bar. He stood on the pull-up bar like this, right? And he starts shaking his body backwards and forwards. Well, we are absolutely crying. He says, how many of them do you do? Like, he says, 10 full ones. And he's proper like, he's shaking his whole body, mate. And we are rolling around the treatment room. Next thing, this lad started doing it, mate. Young Jack, and I'm thinking, oh my god. So while looking through the window, you can see into the gym. There's tears streaming down everyone's eyes. So about 2 months later, right? Mate, this is no way of life. About 2 months later, he walks through the gym, and there's Jack Evans doing the Yankee Bravo again. Mate, we just hit the deck and he was, that's not the Yankee Bravo, is it? We were gone, mate. Oh, mate.
That's so sharp, mate. Oh,
sorry, mate. It was so funny. So sharp, mate. But, like, even what he done, mate, hanging on the bar, like, shaking, you would think, nah, come on, that's on your bike, mate. That's not one. 2 months later, the kid's still doing it.
Yeah, Yankee's been doing that every day for 2 months that weekend.
Mate, by the way, he was an ultimate pro, this young lad, mate. He was never out the gym. He was always doing extras, always in the gym. So for at least 4 times a week, mate, he's doing the Yankee Bravo putting his back out, and it wasn't even an exercise.
Actually, done his back, mate.
That would have topped it off.
Oh, mate, that's sensational, man. That's one of my favourite stories, isn't it? What was it? I just wanted one, mate. How was the celebrations then? Good.
Oh, mate. Yeah. To be fair, mate, we kind of stopped the bus up on before the game, not like in an arrogant way, just in case like we were going to get the job done. But at the time, I think we'd lost 1-32, so we were on a great run, mate. We were flying, and even when we weren't playing well, we were somehow finding a way to turn teams over. So you know, when Big Charlie stuck that header in, you know, we knew it was on, sort of thing. So after the game, we went back in the dressing room, few bottles, and then we went back out to see the fans, because to be fair, mate, the pretty much there was about 4,000 or 5,000 Blackburn fans around the Doncaster end, all around that end. So it was probably more away fans than it was home fans. So we went back out with them, and you know, we're just mooching around, and you know, whatever you do, cleansings and all that stuff when you get promoted, and pretty much straight back in the dressing room. I think we were in there for about an hour, mate, just sinking bottles, you know, having a laugh, putting the music on and what have you. And then there's about five of us went to Manchester. But then after the season, we done Vegas. I think it was about 12 of us, 13 of us went to Vegas, mate, and celebrated the pop, you like, to be fair.
Yankee Bravos in Vegas, mate.
Yankee Bravos, straight down Wet Republic, unbelievable scenes.
I shoot away from the pub.
Are you sad to go? I'm sad, but again, mate, I've touched on it before. I didn't play as much as I feel as though I deserved last season. You know, especially after the season before, I won Player of the Year and Players Player of the Year, and then first game of the new season, mate, I wasn't even in the starting 11, which was kind of strange. And again, I think that goes back to the love-hate relationship with Mowbray. But I didn't play nowhere near enough as I wanted to. I just recently reached 600 games in my career, and I feel as though I've got 2 or 3 more years left at a good level, mate. So I feel as though it was the right time, probably, end the club to part ways. And I'm just kind of glad it ended the way it did, mate. When, you know, the fans loved me there. I got to play my 600th career game in my last game for Blackburn. So it's ended quite well, mate. And I do feel as I'm ready for another club.
Danny, what a man. Absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.